This is the Blaze Radio on demand.
Glenn Beck, the Blaze Radio Network.
Senator Mike Lee, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks so much, Glenn.
Can we start with quickly on the Muslim ban and whether that is legal or not? What is your opinion?
The short answer is the president has authority to suspend the entry of certain aliens coming into this country. He has that authority under Section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act. Now, there's an amendment to that that came about several decades after that one was put in place that some have read to suggest the president can't do this. But when you read the language on that one, it deals with visa issuance, not suspension on entry, and it deals with visa issuance by those who issue visas, not by the president. That's why, on its face, I can't look at this order and say it's illegal. That's why the order, to the extent it causes legal problems, will present legal problems only in the way that it's enforced. In other words, we'll have to wait and see how this thing is applied, how it's interpreted, how it's actually utilized on the ground before we can say whether it violates the law.
Poorly written, Mike? Is that the problem?
Not ideally. The rollout was suboptimal. The draftsmanship could have been better. But look, these are people who have got a lot on their plate, and I understand that. That's why I hope they get the implementation right, because if they get the implementation right, I think it'll be okay.
What did this judge up in Washington? Is he right at all?
You know, I read his temporary restraining order. And it's been a long time since I've seen an order like that that dealt with an issue of this magnitude with so few words. And I don't mean that in a complimentary way. Mm-hmm. What I mean is that it lacked analysis. It was full of what I call conclusory assertions, where the judge just sort of found that the basis in law existed for him to issue this temporary restraining order. And so he did. But it was very short on legal analysis.
So they're making this into a big deal because, well, he was appointed by George Bush. And so, you know, George Bush, of course, how could you possibly go against a judge, George Bush judge?
You know, Glenn, if I had a nickel for every bad decision made by a Republican appointed judge or Supreme Court justice, I'd be a very wealthy man.
Yeah.
The fact that somebody's put on a court by a Republican means absolutely nothing in terms of his infallibility.
Mike, real quick before we get into the crux of this, there's a new poll out about Democrats that are concerned about Christians and Mormons being just as violent as,
and Jews
just as violent as Islam. What are you doing to curb the Mormon violence in this country? Are you drafting any kind of legislation?
Yeah, it's a big problem.
It is.
I would. Mormons are known for their violent tendencies.
Right.
The bicycles and the short sleeve shirts with ties.
Right.
It strikes fear.
Oh my gosh!
I know it does.
Of all who behold.
Oh my gosh.
So a big problem.
So Mike, 63% of all Democrats.
66
feel that's true. 2/3 of all Democrats feel that Christians, Jews and Mormons are just as dangerous as Islamic terrorists.
Wow. Now, that's interesting, especially given that it would be difficult to find doctrine to support that. It would be difficult to find actual statistics to support that. One of the reasons why I find this most disturbing is that it strikes this tone of moral equivalency, which I think causes a whole lot of problems. That, you know, there's no such thing as bad or good or bad or worse than bad. It's just stuff people do. And I'm very curious about that study and how they reached those conclusions that they don't ring true.
It scares the hell out of me because it seems to me that we are living in a time where facts don't matter at all to anybody on either side.
Well, they do matter to the reader. I think there are a lot of readers out there and a lot of people who listen to your program, a lot of people who actually are willing to dig beneath the surface who care. It's not always the case that those reporting those facts care. And so when the people care, those who report facts that are not ringing true can be held accountable. And I think that's what we have to do.
All right. Talk to me a little bit about Gorsuch. You've met with him last, Friday, I think, Thursday or Friday. What'd you think of him?
Love the guy. He's a fantastic judge. Look, I already had a high opinion of him because I've argued in front of him. I was a lawyer before I became a politician as a person.
I argue in front of my children, and I don't necessarily have a lot of respect for them.
This guy's good. But I just highlighted there two of the reasons why I'm one of the, you know, I chose two hated professions, first lawyer, then politician. I'm not sure how it could get worse than that. But right. In any event, he's a great judge. He's a dream to argue in front of because he's the kind of judge who reads all the briefs and reads all the statutes and all the cases cited in the briefs. He's always prepared. He knows exactly where he's going. He believes that our laws matter and the words used matter, and he wants to find the meaning of those words. But then in the last few days, I've been reading a whole lot of Gorsuch. I've spent hours upon hours reading Gorsuch opinions. And so far, I have yet to find a bad opinion among them. This is an extraordinary judge. His opinions, if you can believe it, are actually interesting. They're fun to read, in addition to the fact that they seem to follow the right approach very consistently with an eye toward finding out what the law says.
Now, let's just clarify. That is Mike Lee that just said these are fun to read. So kids, don't rush out there. It's Mike saying that. What are the odds of him getting confirmed?
We intend to get him confirmed, and I expect we will get him confirmed. I don't know exactly.
Without the nuclear option?
Well, there is no reason why we necessarily have to use the nuclear option. And I think most or all of us would prefer not to. It's not clear that we'll have to begin with. I do think at least one Democrat will make sure that we have to get cloture if they can. And that requires 60 votes to bring the debate to a close. I think it's possible that we could get those 60 votes. If we don't, there are a couple of options at our disposal, only one of which involves the use of the nuclear option. There's another one called Rule 19. The so-called two-speech rule that allows us to bypass cloture when we stay in the same legislative day until everyone who wants to speak has had a chance to do so, and then we go directly to the final vote, which is set at 51. Look, this is terribly boring, arcane stuff. This from a guy who loves to read Gorsuch opinions.
No, not just loves them, says they're fun.
Yes, they are fun. The Gorsuch opinions are fun. Rule 19 is not fun. It's quite arcane, but it's useful here, and I think it might give us a path toward confirming Judge Gorsuch without deploying the nuclear option.
Mike, if you had to compare him to a sitting or former judge, who would he mostly closely compare to? Would it be Scalia? Would it be Alito? Kennedy?
I'd say he's sort of a blend between Justice Alito, my former boss, and Justices Scalia and Thomas, which is exactly what we want. I had hoped the president would nominate someone in that mold, and as far as I can tell, he appears to be in that mold. This is a guy who really believes deeply that we need to follow certain principles in the law. He's deeply wedded to textualism, the idea that the laws consist of words. The words have meaning, and you have to find out what those words mean. And originalism, which is the idea that in order to understand the Constitution, it's important to go back and understand how the words in the Constitution were used at the time they were put in there, at the time they were drafted and ratified.
As someone, Mike, who's really interested in the Gorsuch opinions, can you help? Because I thought, speaking of the Scalia comparisons, one interesting place where they seem to split, and it seems like Gorsuch is better than Scalia on, is this idea, the Chevron deference, where we're talking about basically giving deference to federal agencies. Can you explain that and make it slightly less boring than it sounds?
Yes. First of all, I'm thrilled. I'm ecstatic that I get to explain Chevron deference.
Oh, my gosh.
National radio program.
Right now, people are pulling over. They're like, oh, my gosh.
Chevron deference. I can't go to work yet.
I'm about to wet my pants. I'm so excited.
Okay. So Chevron deference is this legal doctrine created out of whole cloth by the devil himself within the federal court system. And it says that the courts, rather than doing their own thinking, are just going to defer to executive branch bureaucratic agencies when they interpret a regulation developed by that agency. In other words, hello, Mr. Fox, here are the keys to the hen house. Please enjoy it. That's what we do. Now, for reasons that astound me, for reasons that sometimes caused me to argue with Justice Scalia when I'd go to dinner with him, that is a doctrine that doesn't make sense, and yet Justice Scalia supported it in one way or another. Judge Gorsuch appears to have real concerns with Chevron deference. And he pointed out that this is a doctrine that runs against the doctrine of separation of powers embedded deeply within the Constitution. And I had a huge grin on my face when I was reading that opinion. It was fantastic.
Because this essentially means, like, if the EPA has a regulation and there's disagreement about it, the legal system just says, ask the EPA what they meant.
Exactly. And so, if other people disagree with the EPA's interpretation of what it meant, they say ask the EPA, and whatever the EPA says stands. And that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's really a big problem.
So, Mike, help me out on this. I don't have a problem necessarily with some of the direction that this president is taking. But I'm really...
I was afraid you were going to tell me you didn't have a problem with Chevron.
No. Gosh. I know, the controversy. People would have been fighting across the country over this.
Mike Lee was actually legitimately excited to answer the Chevron deference question.
I know.
Can we point that out?
God bless him.
Who wouldn't be?
So, Mike, my problem has been with the lack of concern on the number of executive orders that are being issued. Do you have a problem with the system that we're using here with this president? Is it any different, or is it just my perception?
It's not now and never has been, never will be, the number of executive orders that are a problem. I said this repeatedly throughout the 8 years of President Obama's presidency. It's not the number that matters.
Right.
It's the nature of the executive order.
Right.
It's so, how they're used. It's whether or not they're used in a manner authorized by law.
So are these executive orders falling in line with what is authorized?
So far, the executive orders on their face don't fly in the face of the law. So far, these executive orders could be implemented in a manner fully consistent with the law. Now, that doesn't mean that all executive orders this president issues will necessarily, going forward, fall into that category. But I haven't seen one yet that I look at and say he doesn't have authority to do that.
Oh, that's really
good. That's great news.
Did he...
There are some ambiguities in this order we were talking about earlier. There is some language in there that, depending on how it's implemented, could cause a problem. That's why I'm watching that one carefully.
Like what?
Okay, you're going to yell at me for getting into this level of detail, but there are subsequently enacted provisions of the immigration code.
Hold on just a second. Jeffy, assuming you're awake by the end of this, wake me so I can yell at him for getting into the weeds. Go ahead, Mike. What now?
That can be read to restrict any type of effort on the part of the president to deal with the visa issuance program, process. And depending on how the courts interpret that, that could end up creating a problem. Likewise, depending on how they interpret this, this could cause other problems. I don't want to get into all the details of that. I don't want to pick any fights that the administration doesn't need picked.
Okay.
People are like, oh, go back to Chevron deference after that one.
One last question. Mitt Romney said he won't rule anything out, but he won't rule anything in yet. He's not sure if Orrin Hatch is going to run for Senate. How do you feel about your partner being possibly Mitt Romney?
You know, look, Mitt Romney's a great guy. The not ruling anything in, not ruling anything out describes the entire context of the Utah Senate race coming up in 2018. Nobody knows what the heck is going on. Nobody knows who's running and who isn't. I have absolutely no idea how to predict this thing. So I don't know what to say. I think people, before they decide they're going to get in, kind of like having their name floated out there, and they enjoy the process a lot. Sometimes that causes the process to drag out too far. But we still don't know whether Senator Hatch is going to seek re-election, and I suspect that would strongly influence whether or not Mitt Romney decides to get in.
We have bad guys on both sides. We have the extreme right that is frightening, the alt-right that is truly frightening. And then we have the left that was burning Starbucks down. You have now people in Congress talking about impeachment. You have the press saying we're in a constitutional crisis, which we're not. Are you concerned that the left is playing this so hard, and the Trump administration is such a counterpuncher, that we could find ourselves boxed into a place to where we really are not talking to each other?
Oh, sure. I'm always concerned about that. That's always a risk. I hope that doesn't happen. I think there are ways we can avoid it, and I think we can keep the dialogue going and keep the dialogue as civil as we can. The only people we can control are ourselves. For each one of us, that is true. We can't control anyone else's words but our own. And bad things happen when we try. That's what happens when people start burning down Starbucks. If they're trying to control somebody else's words, that's always a bad idea.
Mike, thank you so much. And I thank you so much for your reason and your compassion and your decency in Washington. One of the good guys, Senator Mike Lee from Utah. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The key to having a great day starts with having a great night's sleep. And I know because I have a Casper mattress. The Casper mattress was invented with two high-tech foams that give you all of the support that you need and guarantee that you get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named Casper mattress one of the best inventions of 2015. Casper ships for free in a box so small you won't believe it holds the actual mattress, making it simple to get from your front door to your bedroom. And you try it for 100 nights risk-free. They'll come and pick it up if you don't love it as much as I love mine. And they'll refund every single dime. Once you try it, you're never going to want to sleep on anything else. Having a great day by having a great night's sleep. Casper.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn, $50 off the purchase of your mattress at Casper.com/Glenn. The promo code is Glenn. Don't forget, $50 off the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com/Glenn. Terms and conditions do apply.